Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I thought we would wrap up the lessons on music on a lesson called How God Guides and Directs Us. We've learned a lot about music. I don't expect you to retain it all, but I think you'll take some of it with you. But when it comes to, I've heard someone say this, well, if you'll just yield to the Holy Spirit, God will guide you in what music to listen to. There's a part of me that says, I agree with that, but I'm not seeing it happen. I'm seeing bad music come into churches that people say, the Lord led me. You cannot respond to ignorance. We respond to truth. So if you haven't been taught on music, then how can the Holy Spirit guide you with boundaries that you don't have? Does that make sense? In other words, you have people saying, I'm watching bad music come into churches, and people are saying, oh yeah, oh, isn't that a great song? And we prayed about that. As a pastor, I wanted to end this lesson on music. I've never taught this before. To understand how God guides us, look at Psalm 32 and look at verse number 8. God says here, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Notice verse 9 very carefully. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God says, don't be like a horse or a mule. You know how you steer a horse? You put a bridle. The Bible says you put a bridle in their mouth, and when you pull, it pinches, and then they turn their head to get away from the pain. If you want to steer the horse this way, you pull on the bridle and it pinches, and then they turn the head to get the pain to stop. When you kick a horse, you can get the horse to turn this way if you spur it on the side because it goes, oh, I need to move away. Horses are stupid. They're beautiful, but they're stupid. Okay? God says, don't be like an animal to where the only way I can direct you is with pain. There's some Christians, they don't listen to the Bible. The Bible doesn't matter to them, either that or they're not taught the Bible or whatever. But God says, I can't guide you and direct you because you don't listen to me. The only way I work in your life is with pain because it's all you listen to. You're like an animal. You're like a horse. If I'm, you know, to get you to go this way, I've got to cause pain over here. And then to get you to turn this way, I've got to cause pain over here to get you to turn. And God says, don't be like an animal. Be like my child, God says, that listens to my word. So God specifically says, I can guide you if you'll listen to me. I can guide you and I'll teach you and guide you. There are promises in the Bible that God gives us. Let me just tell you this and I'll have you turn here in just a minute. As a matter of fact, go to Galatians chapter 5 while I read you these verses. God promises to guide us if we seek His face and walk with Him. Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We could go on, that's not the Bible study tonight, but it is in the Bible that God says, I can direct you, I want to help you, I want to lead you, but it will always be through His Word. Now, tonight, I want to lay a foundation of truth, basic truth concerning the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you this outline later. These are in the back. I didn't know that anybody would want them, but I made 10 of them, and if we need more, I can print more of them. But these are little booklets. This has almost everything that we're going to cover tonight, okay? So they're like, we'll be here till midnight. No, I'll cover it fast, okay? That was a joke. Are you all awake? Okay, is the rain making you tired? Okay. The reason I'm telling you that is I want you to listen tonight. We're going to turn to a few places, but The name of the Bible study is, what kind of music does God want me to listen to? So when we're done learning about the Holy Spirit, I'm going to show you how God directs us, and then I'm going to show you what good music is. And I'm going to use a few things of repeat a few things that I've given you, but I put it all in order so you could say, how can I tell what God wants me to listen to, and it'll obviously be through the Holy Spirit. First of all, I know you're in Galatians, just listen. Here we go. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. That's in John 16. He's going to reprove the world. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts. When you were lost, you were dead in trespasses and sin. Watch this to show you how important the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is what regenerates or rebirths or brings to life your spirit when you get saved. John chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. Titus 3, 5 verses. Here we go. Next. All you got to do is just listen just for a second, and then we'll look at this. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer at salvation. So when you get saved, you become the dwelling place of God. John chapter 14, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Now, you're to walk in the Spirit so you don't walk in the flesh. Here in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 16. All right. And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now I'm going to deal with you on music, but you can apply this to a lot of areas in your life. How does God guide us? I'm going to specifically target music, but can God, okay, it's not written in the Bible where you're supposed to work, but can God guide you? Yes, He can. It's not in the Bible, the name of the person you're supposed to marry, but can God guide you and direct you? Yes, He can. These are apply, I'm going to apply them to music, but how does God guide us and direct us? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Everybody needs to understand verse 17. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's a battle going on. That's why I think when people say, You have, the flesh is always trying to take you. It never stops. If you don't yield to the Holy Spirit, the flesh will dominate, and you have to die to self and push it down. That's why I think if you aren't taught on music and you say, I think there's fleshly music that's gotten in the churches because people aren't taught. Okay, what did we learn that is the main ingredient that activates the flesh in music? The beat, right? The backbeat, or we could call it the blank beat where they miss it and then it causes you syncopation, whatever it is, the blank beat, the backbeat, but it is the beat that activates the flesh. And if you haven't been taught that, the average Christian reads and they go, oh, fleshly music, that must be talking about rape, murder, drugs, drinking. No. It's music that's activating your flesh. Okay, then looky here, that's verse 17. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Notice this, the works of the flesh are manifest. In verse 19 it says, the works of the flesh. In verse number 22 it says, the fruit of the Spirit. If I don't yield to the Holy Spirit, then my flesh will present and perform these works. Anything that includes these. That's why, okay, if you're listening to music and you're having sensual or bad thoughts, that would fall in the first three categories of the works of the flesh. Because what's the works of the flesh? It says the works of the flesh manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. The first four deal with immorality. So if somebody's listening to music with a beat that is, or it could have, the rhythm can be bad in the music or the singing, either way, but if they're singing about Jesus, but you're having moods of sensuality in any form or depth, that should show you, I'm listening to fleshly music. This is not good. This is not good. Let's read just a little bit more here. Idolatry. I'm going to get into it later, but any music that causes you to want to be more than God wants you to. For instance, when you start picturing yourself, I could be a singer and I could have the fame and the crowd could be, boy, they could be in awe when I sing that. That's idolatry. That's you putting yourself in front. That's you getting the glory. That's an idol. American Idol, right? All that garbage. You know, who can we worship next? You know? All that's idolatry. That should, if you can recognize the works and how the flesh works and what it produces, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you live in the flesh, you don't lose your salvation, you lose your rewards when you get to heaven. There's no inheritance, right? So a flesh-driven Christian cannot get rewards in heaven. They lose rewards. Okay, now, here we go. Let me give you some more. This is foundational, and then we're going to turn to a few places. Now I need you to listen to me, okay? There's a battle that's raging until God calls you home. You are to yield to the Holy Spirit so He can fill you or control you. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, "Tarry ye until ye be endued with power from on high." Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And then God says, "And sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord." You have to be thirsty enough, Isaiah 44:3, to ask God, Luke 11:13, for the Holy Spirit. If you have not asked God to fill you, then you're not filled. Nobody is accidentally filled with the Holy Spirit. The flesh is too strong. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit and say, "God, please fill me, help me." And God will use, fill you and help you, whatever you let Him do. And the only reason God doesn't fill you is because you don't let Him. But there has to be a, "Lord, please fill me," Luke 11:13, there has to be an asking. Here we go. When the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, He regenerates you. Then He witnesses with your spirit that you're saved, Romans 8:16. He empowers you for service so you can go soul winning and have a victorious Christian life. Now, here we go. So how does the Lord direct us, like our text verse says in Psalm 32, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." God gives us four things to direct us. In Romans 2:14-16, God says when you were created, He gave you a conscience. And you'll notice something about your conscience. It's not the Holy Spirit. Lost or saved, everybody has a conscience. Your conscience will tell you what not to do. It guards you. It doesn't guide you. Like, for instance, when do we say a kid reaches the age of accountability? Normally when they quit streaking, right? Well, you know what I mean. They'll run across the room with no clothes on, and then they reach the age where they start going, "Mommy." You know what I mean? Well, what? They're touched about being seen, right? So we would say they're reaching the age of accountability. I know there's other ways, but that's a basic way, right? That's their conscience saying, "Don't do that," right? So every one of us has a conscience. Here's what you got to learn about your conscience. And that's a whole Bible study. If you took a concordance and looked up your conscience on it, your conscience is based on how you were raised and what you were exposed to. If you take a kid that's raised in a druggy, alcoholic home, their conscience is not as developed because of what they're damaged. Because of what they're around. What can sear the conscience? 2 Timothy 4:2. Your conscience can get seared to where it doesn't work anymore. An abusive home, it can sear it to where it doesn't work. Like, you know, what was that? That 11-year-old in Texas that stabbed his mother and father? How's an 11-year-old do that? He was damaged because of the home he was in. You understand? But God gave him a conscience. What else can warp your conscience, damage you? TV, movies, things you expose yourself to can sear that conscience and damage it. Okay? Now, conscience is important, but one of the first things, how does God guide us? God gives you a conscience, and your conscience, in general, tells you what not to do. It guards you, but your conscience never says, do this, go here. It doesn't tell you what to do as much as it tells you what not to do. Okay? What else does God give us to guide us? He gives us a second thing. We're given the Bible. The Bible, God gives us His Word, and it illuminates truth so we can see it and live by it. I'm going to give you a verse that I think everybody knows, but Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. All right? It illuminates what's there. Romans 7:13, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Here we go. Ready? Your conscience tells you what not to do. Then God's word warns us about what not to do, but then it adds to it, and it says, it gives us principles and examples to tell us how to do good. For instance, your conscience would say, you shouldn't be here. Not here, but, you know, if you're in a bad place. All right? You shouldn't be here. God's word says, not only should you not be here, but here's the type of place in general that you should be. Your conscience would say, you shouldn't do that. The Bible says, you shouldn't do that, but here's the type of things you should be doing. Type, not never specifically. For instance, well, here, I'll illustrate this. So in general, the Bible tells us what not to do, but it tells us the type of actions to do that are good. Next, then we have our conscience. Then we have the Bible. Then we have the Lord Jesus by His example and pattern. I could read you a whole bunch of verses. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, follow me. In Matthew 20, Jesus said, whoso is great among you, let him be your minister. In verse 28, He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you, John 13:15. Jesus guides and directs and convicts us by His pattern and example, right? That's what being a Christian is. We're supposed to act like Jesus. So we have our conscience. It tells us what not to do. We have the Bible, and it tells us what not to do and what type to do in its place in general. And then we have the life of Jesus. How would Jesus talk to people that were angry with Him? How did Jesus deal with children? How did Jesus preach? How did Jesus pray? We have His example of how He acted here on this earth, and we're supposed to. That's one thing that's supposed to guide us. I'm not totally for the guy that came up with the WWJD, but what would Jesus do? But the principle's there. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus talk like that? Would he carry Himself like that? Would He do that? If He wouldn't, then that's supposed to be something that guides us. Would Jesus listen to that type of music? His example. From what you know about Him as God showed Him in the Bible. There's a fourth thing. And then, so God gives us a conscience. God gives us the Bible. And God gives us the pattern and example of the Lord Jesus. And finally, take your Bible and go to John 16:13. God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, here's where this gets, I think, very helpful. John 16, verse 13. I could take you to more passages, but I want to take and apply this foundation that I'm giving you to the lesson tonight. Okay? John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. All truth. So, our conscience tells us what not to do. The Bible tells us what type to do in general. Jesus gives us an example and pattern that we should pattern our lives after. And then the Holy Spirit tells us specifically what we should be doing. For instance, we've been told to go into the whole world and preach the gospel, right? To every creature. But if you read the book of Acts, you'll find there was one time the Apostle Paul was told by the Holy Spirit, don't go there. So sometimes the Holy Spirit, you say, okay, well, generally the Bible says I'm supposed to preach to everybody. But you'll find the Holy Spirit will say, don't talk to that person, talk to that person. And he specifically targets individuals. He can tell us who to talk to. Okay, that's where the job can come in. That's where your spouse can come in. That's where looking for God's will comes in. Does the Bible tell you exactly where to work? No, but can the Holy Spirit? Yes, as you yield. Don't put an application there. I want you to go right over there. Over there, Lord? Yeah, I want you to go right over there. So as you yield to the Holy Spirit, you know you're supposed to have a job, right? If you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. That's the Bible generally. But specifically, the Holy Spirit says, go here. Work here. Do this. Everybody get the picture? So there's four things. Conscience, Bible, the Lord Jesus, His example, and the Holy Spirit. If you know how the Holy Spirit works, He's always trying to specifically getting you to do a certain thing or to be a certain way specifically. That tells me this. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed, Matthew 12:31-32, and resisted, Acts 7:51, but that's only done by lost people. If you're saved, you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you cannot resist the Holy Spirit. That's something only lost people can do. Okay? So, I know that's a different Bible study, but here we go. What can saved people do to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of them? The Holy Spirit can be lied to, Ananias and Sapphira, and no, I don't think if you lie to the Holy Spirit, God will strike you dead. I don't suggest you do it, but I know a lot of people that have lied to God, and they walked out of church. They were not stricken dead, just like Ananias and Sapphira were, all right, in church. Everybody understand that story? They didn't give to God what they pledged, and God smote them. I think that was New Testament times. However, you can lie to the Holy Spirit. God touches your heart to do something, and you tell Him you will, and then you don't. That would be a lie, right? Okay, Lord, I'll do it, and then you don't follow through. That's lying. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. What else can you do? If I understand how the Holy Spirit works, you can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. What does quench do? If you were trying to start a fire and you took water and you dumped it on it, that would quench it, right? When the Holy Spirit's trying to start a fire in your heart and you throw water on it, when the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to do right and you don't do it, it quenches Him, right? Witness to that person. No. I want you to go to church. No. I want you to read your Bible. No. When God's trying to touch your heart about doing right and you don't, you're throwing water on it. You're not letting the fire get started. You understand? God's pushing you and you're resisting. What else can you do? One more thing. Here we go. Just a second. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. God says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. What does that mean? Grieve means when the Holy Spirit is trying to keep you from doing something and you do it anyways, it grieves Him. So you quench when He's trying to push you to do right. And you go, no, I don't want to do that. But when He's trying to, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm going to do it anyways. You grieve Him. For instance, you're the temple and the dwelling place of Almighty God when you get saved. God goes everywhere you go, and He sees everything you see, and He listens to everything you listen to, and He watches everything you watch. What do you watch that He tells you not to watch? What do you say that He tells you not to say? Do you listen to anything that the Holy Spirit goes? That would be grieving, right? The Holy Spirit's saying, don't listen to that, and you're going, no, I'm going to listen to it. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. So you're saying, get back in your corner, go back over there, and when I want you, I'll tell you when I want you. You know what the Holy Spirit of God does? Instead of trying to help you, He goes, okay, I'll go right over here. I'll sit down. When you're ready, let me know. You can run the show as long as you want, since you got your act together. You think you do, right? That's us and our rebellion, right? That's where sin happens every time I kick God off His throne, right? And I say, I'm running this show. I do what I want, right? That's sin, right? So there's lying to the Holy Spirit, there's quenching the Holy Spirit, and there's grieving the Holy Spirit. Those are different Bible studies, but I've given you a general because I want you to understand how does the Holy Spirit work and guide and direct you. He specifically tries to get us to do things, say things, go places, certain... Okay, here we go. Can I just remind you tonight, if you quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, you lose God's presence. Now, God's, aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? Amen. But if you keep telling God no, and you tell the Holy Spirit no, then you lose the presence of God, and you lose the joy of the Christian life. Right? Because Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So if you don't have, if you tell the Holy Spirit, stop pushing me and stop leading me and stop restraining me, then you lose God's presence and you lose the joy of the Christian life. And that's the result of a selfish Christian, right? Now, that's in general of what I'm, I know we could have taken several of those points, preached on them and stuff. I'm trying to show you as we get to the music issue. Ready? Here we go. Then how does the Holy Spirit lead you in music you listen to? Number one, the more you read and learn the Bible, the easier it is to recognize good music and bad music. Doesn't God say in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? What destroys God's people? The lack of knowledge of God from the Bible. So the more you read God's Word, the more those thoughts get in your mind, and the more you recognize good and righteousness and truth, and that works true with music too. The more you recognize God, okay, God shows you that. Next, can you take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8. Number two, you need to pay attention to who wrote or produced the song. In the day of the internet, anybody could find this out. In my day of growing up, a lot of songs would slip by. But when you can write, but when you can say, who wrote Shout to the Lord? Darlene Check. Where's Darlene Check from? She's the worship leader at Hillsong in Australia. What did Darlene Check say about her song, Shout to the Lord? Darlene Check said, we need to help the independent Baptists accept our music, so I wrote Shout to the Lord so that it would open the door for the rest of her songs. She's a nasty woman. She's targeting independent Baptists because she said, our music, like they play at Hillsong, the worship stuff, the independent Baptists are the last fortress that we have to penetrate. And if we can take them, then we've got it. I'll show you the quote. Okay, that's not me saying that about Darlene Check. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Nice song. It's clean. It's clean because she said they'll open the door and then they'll let the rest of our stuff in. But could you find out who wrote the song before you do the song? Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or at war against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If somebody's in the flesh, God says, that does not please me. Well, you tell me, if Darlene Check writes the song, Shout to the Lord, and it's in a lot of independent Baptist churches, but she said what? Okay, is it a spiritual reason why she wrote it, or is it a fleshly reason? It's fleshly. Then does that please the Lord? Absolutely not. Do you know how much that song's in independent Baptist church? I'm talking independent. It's been in independent. I think the song's like 12 years old. It's everywhere. Nobody's doing any research. It's just, oh, that sounds good. Really? Did you check who wrote it? If they're in the flesh, it doesn't please God. A little research. Now, like I said, in the days we live in, it's a lot easier to do research. It didn't used to be this easy. Okay, but when you can ask Siri, your own personal government tracking device, tracks everywhere you go, find out about who wrote the song. There are some spiritual songs. I wish I could go into it more. I've got a different Bible study on it. I use Darlene Check as an example. How about this one? One of the first contemporary Christian songs. You said you'd come. We sang it at camp all the time. And to bear all my sorrows, Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. I've sung that song a lot. Did you know that the lady that wrote that's a homosexual? Have you ever analyzed that song? For those tears I died. Doesn't that sound sweet? That's nowhere in your Bible. Nowhere. Take and analyze the song, phrase by phrase. It's a feel-goody, floaty, emotional song that literally is doctrinally nothing. Jesus didn't die for our tears. He died for our sins. Okay? You analyze that song. I could go through so many contemporary songs. Look who wrote it. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. That does not make God happy. But, okay, let's go to number three. Ready? The Holy Spirit won't lead you to sing or listen to music that is fleshly or carnal. Okay? We covered that when we looked at the works of the flesh. Next, can you go to Psalm 68, verse 25? Psalm 68, verse 25. Right in the middle of your Bible. We covered this, but this will be in, if you want the handout, you can have it. How do I analyze music? How can I tell the type of music God wants me to listen to? And what I'm getting ready to show you, I showed my son Caleb, and several years ago he was at a Bible college, and they were justifying CCM and all this, and he said, Dad, what's that verse that you teach on? Melody, harmony, and rhythm. I said, Psalm 68, 25. He showed it to his two roommates, and they said, Bible thumpers. Anytime you show the Bible to somebody and they start discrediting it, you know you're in a mess. Okay? But look, we've covered this, but if you haven't got words underlined, I wish you'd underline it and think about it. Ready? Underline the word singers went before. The players on, then you underline the word, instruments, followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with, and then you underline the word, timbrels. So singers, instruments, and timbrels should be highlighted. Singers is melody. The most important thing in a song is the melody. That's the message of the music. That's the message of the song. The next thing is harmony, and the last thing is the timbrels. It's the rhythm. That's God's order for music. Melody is always supposed to come first. Rhythm always comes last. That's why you don't need drums. This is a percussion instrument. It's got hammers that hit things. That is a percussion instrument. We have enough percussion. We have enough. We don't need the drums. It'd be too much. It would put the rhythm on top. You say, how do I analyze good music? Rhythm is the movement of the music, but it's last. It's not predominant. Remember I told you, what do you hear the most in people when their windows are rolled up and their music's booming? Yeah, I mean, it's what you hear at the signs, right? And I told you, I think it'd be funny if their screws just vibrated out of their car and then their whole car fell apart. I want to see that. But that's when the rhythm is first instead of last. It's too much. And we've learned how that affects the body. So God's rhythm, God's order for music is melody, harmony, and then rhythm. Okay, next. The Holy Spirit will lead you to sing to the Lord. Ephesians 5:18, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is in the outline, so just listen to me, because this is a great way to analyze music. Are you ready? Number one, the Lord is your song, and the Lord is your audience. Does the song you're singing represent the Lord, and would He listen to it? If not, that in itself, let me say it again. The Lord is your song. That's Bible. There's Bible verses behind that, and I put it in the thing. And the Lord is supposed to be the one you're singing to. And if that can't happen, then it's not good music. Okay, now listen closely. Ready? I'll give you a few more points here. I just need you to listen to me. Any Christian music that draws more attention to musical talent, musical techniques of the instrumentalist or the singers, or the manner of presentation, if it's fleshly or then, okay, in its manner of presentation, then that music is fleshly or carnal, and it's inferior, and it is non-spiritual music. A real Christian musician, listen, ministers. They never perform. They never deserve, need, or covet any applause. And if anybody applauds, it needs to be the one who is honored, magnified, and glorified. A real Christian musician, that's instrumentalist or vocalist, is deeply concerned with conveying a message, not a voice or a technique or a personality. You see how you can tell the Holy Spirit doesn't like to talk of Himself. Jesus taught us that, right? But He does what? He reminds us of what we've been told. He brings to our memory the Word of God. Well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't like to magnify you either, right? We want to magnify Him, the Lord. We don't want the attention. We want just to serve. I'm just a servant. Next, the Holy Spirit will lead you to sing and listen to music that teaches you. Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We use music in our services that teach you while you sing. Songs that we sang tonight. Songs in the hymn book. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. You sing those songs, you're taught, right? They teach you. Songs like Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned. There is a fountain filled with blood. The old account was settled long ago. Jesus paid it all. Those songs teach. Then there are songs that admonish you. What's admonish mean? That means moves you to action. Songs like A Soul Winner for Jesus. That song kind of, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. That song helps you say, yeah, I need to be a soul winner. Right? How about songs like Win the Lost at Any Cost? So little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. That's an admonishment song. It moves you to action. How about this? Our best. The song, Tell It to Jesus Alone. Help somebody today, brighten the corner where you are, rescue the perishing. Those are admonishing songs. So we have teaching songs in our services. We have admonishing songs in our services. music speaks. Any music that does not remind you of something Christian, biblical, or spiritual is not Christian music. Listen closely. Christian music will cause the mind to meditate and dwell on, you ready? The love of God, the power of God, God's mercy and kindness to you, your failures to serve God faithfully. Christian music, good music, causes your mind to meditate and dwell on prayer and the prayer promises, the true condition of lost people, the person and work of Jesus Christ, the presence of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the joys and glories of heaven and the New Jerusalem, your trials, sorrows, and sufferings as related to God's grace. It'll cause you to think about the flesh and the devil and the joy of resting peacefully in the finished work of Christ while everything about you collapses. That's good music. Good music. Music that gets your foot tapping before it gets your mind thinking is music that plays with your mind. We've learned that. Okay. Somebody said, well, I listen to bluegrass. I used to play bluegrass. I don't listen to heavy doses of it. Some people, that's all they listen to. I think that's bad. I think you should listen to more music than just bluegrass. And there's some bluegrass I don't have a problem with, but I've heard some wing dingies that I don't want my kids listening to. I don't want played in my house. Well, all I listen to is bluegrass. Okay, well, expand. Okay, then let this preacher help you. Expand your listening base. I've got quartet music. I've got good solo music. I've got good instrumental. I've got a little bit of bluegrass. But don't just focus on one thing. And definitely analyze it. Okay? How about this? Listen closely. Secular music will cause your mind to meditate and dwell on and think about. Okay? In the 1800s, this is what the secular music did. You ready? It caused you to think about, express yourself, pour out your feelings, think about life, death, sorrow, suffering, joy, peace, victory, disappointments, tragedies, accomplishments, frustrations, pain, poverty, temptations, success, and pleasure. Then music gets you start to thinking about, wow, look at the performance. Isn't that man wonderful? Watch him show you something new in music. Watch him perform. Look what he can do with that score. Man is so wonderful. That's what secular music says. It doesn't point you to the Lord. It points you to a person. Then in the 1920s, secular music said, I want to be immoral. My wife left me. My husband left me. I'm in jail. I got the blues. Feel sorry for yourself. Blame someone else because you're a victim. Okay, roaring 20s. Then the 30s come along. And that type of music said, swing it, let down your hair, dance like an animal. Ain't it wonderful? Fall in love, just do it, do it, do it, do it. Then the 1940s and 50s come along, and what did that music say? It says, I love you, you love me, he loves her, she used to love him, I don't love you anymore. Fornicate today, young and old, there's no moral standards. When can we be immoral? She broke my heart, I broke her heart, she's got his heart. She lost her heart. My heart's running around here someplace, and I can't find it. And where can I find someone to be immoral with? Okay, that's 40s and 50s. That's what the music's going to tell you. And we get into the 60s and the 70s, and yes, it gets worse. That secular music said, fornicate, pop pills, get drunk, take off your clothes, cuss your parents, pass out, cuss the government, get stoned, stay stoned, be immoral with male and male, female and female, male and female. What's the difference? There's no absolutes. Do as you please, do as thou wilt. Then we're in the modern and the last phase of secular music. And guess what today's music says? Worship the devil. He's a real good fella. Go on home to hell, you'll enjoy it. That's where all the sins that you enjoy are. Go on and end it. Take a shortcut. Life's not worth living now. Good is evil, evil's good. Yin is yang, black is white. God is Satan, hell is heaven, etc. And insanity, listen, insanity is the logical end and result of man's music. When music and musicians ignore the absolute truth of the Word of God, and they turn their back on their Creator, they are destined to end up gently flowing down an underground sewer till they pour steaming into a stream of volcanic lava on its way to a lake of fire in outer darkness. That's their end. That's where it ends. Now you, as a born-again child of God, John 1:12, we have a much more different final destiny. Praise the Lord. You say, where are we headed for? Number one, we're going to be like Jesus. Romans 8:29. We've been predestined. We're going to sing a heavenly choir, Revelation 15:2-3. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and go there. This be the last scripture we look at. Revelation 15. Ready? And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy? For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. That's the song we're going to sing in heaven. That's one of them. Isn't that awesome? Did you know we're going to sound off in glory, to the glory of God? And it's going to make Frederick Handel's Hallelujah Chorus sound like a mixed quartet of eighth graders. Amen? The only rock, jazz, swing, or hip musicians that are going to be in heaven are going to be those that had enough sense to leave their dance bands when they got saved. Can you imagine a choir of 2 billion people singing 8-part harmony in perfect unison with every singer better trained than Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, Enzio Pinza, Loretta Malcor, Luciano Pavarotti, Giovanni Martinelli, and Jenny Lind? Can you imagine them all well-trained singing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Can you imagine what it's going to sound like in heaven? No, that's our destiny. Truly, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Biggest choir I've ever heard sing is 500 voices. Brought me to tears the moment they started. I couldn't imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. How can I tell what is good music and what's bad music? God gives us a conscience. God gives us the Bible. God gives us the pattern of Jesus, and God gives us the Holy Spirit. I think there's things that we've learned from the Bible that'll help us choose the right and wrong music. And I think there's more that can be done, but I think this lays a foundation, and I hope this helps us as Christians. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for... Lord, I know we've covered a lot of ground, and I didn't mean to rush things, but Lord, I wish this to be a help.